focused on the relationship aspect last week, and this week we're actually going to focus on how God communicates. And I've titled the message, Understanding How God Speaks. I believe in my book, this is actually chapter 4. When you get the book and read it, because I know you're so excited about that. But anyways, it is chapter 4 in my book, and it is one of those things that we need to talk a lot about, because there's an incredible amount of confusion when it comes to the issue of hearing the voice of God as it relates to how God speaks to us. Now, I was just up praying in the prayer room earlier before our service, before our worship time, and as I was praying, I had this vision. One of the ways that God speaks to me is through visions. I'm going to explain that to you tonight. But I had this vision where and I've sort of seen this before. It wasn't new, but this way that it was presented to me in this vision was very new, the way it was presented. And the way it was presented was I saw a radio, and the radio was on a certain channel. That channel, of course, we would call a frequency. Now, there's a lot of different channels. There's a lot of different frequencies that can be picked up so that it can play different radio stations. And I would liken, as we go into in a different week, hearing the voice of God, there are other voices that we hear, not just the voice of God. We'll talk a lot more about that. And that's important to learn how to discern, is this my own mind? Is this the enemy? Is this the voice of my past? All those kinds of things are very important to discuss, and we will do that in discerning the voice of God session. But as I was looking at this radio, I realized that it was on a certain frequency. It was on a certain channel, and it was picking up this channel. But every so often, how many of you know, they play a different song? And I started thinking about how that relates to hearing the voice of God. When you are picking up what God is saying, when your antenna is up and you're catching the right frequency, not a different channel, not a different frequency, but you are hearing His voice, you are getting the right signal, the right station, the right channel, it on that channel, you will hear a lot of different things. A lot of different songs. There might be a lot of different styles of music on that channel. And I liken that to hearing the voice of God. God does not only speak in one way. His voice is one voice, but He doesn't speak one way. He speaks many different ways to His people. And that was one of the things that confused me early on in my Christian life. I've told my story to several of you, at least here have heard it. I gave my life to Jesus Christ at 19, and when I gave my life to Jesus, I literally, in the first week of meeting Jesus, I started having vivid, detailed dreams. And this wasn't something that I was ever used to outside of just doing drugs and having psychedelic type weird stuff happen. So obviously, being sober, giving my life to Jesus, everything sort of changed for me. But the first week of meeting Jesus Christ, I would go to sleep, and within 1 week, 3 times, I had significant, vivid, detailed dreams. I woke up thinking something is up. So I went to the pastor of the church that I was at that time, and he gave me the weird look, because I didn't say these were from God. I didn't know. I was going to the person that I believed knew. And that person gave me the weird look. And so I've seen the weird look outside of being a Jesus follower, so at least I could pick that up. And he didn't know what to say, but he did tell me this. He said, "Son, you need to read the Bible." And I said, "Amen, I'll read the Bible. Thank you." So I read the Bible, and do you know what that did for me? As I read the Bible, page after page after page, and if you've done this, you know this is true, God speaks to people in all kinds of ways in the Bible. And so the more I read the Bible, the more I was comforted in the experience that I was having. I didn't understand what the dream meant, and I'm not an omen interpreter, and we're not New Age or anything like that, but I wanted to know what God was trying to say, because I knew that God was speaking to me through a dream. I knew that I knew that I knew. I just had no idea what He was saying. But the more I read the Bible, the more I saw God speaks to people in ways that almost offend me. How many of you know exactly what I'm talking about? And as I read the Bible, I would read things that God said to people that offended my mind even more than that. Sometimes when people say to me that they think the Bible is boring, I'm asking them what book they read. If you haven't read Ezekiel, try it. and use your imagination, that thing that God has put deep on the inside of you. I know we're visually based more than we are word-based. You know, culture has shifted over the last 40 years. We used to be more word-based, using our imagination as we read books, and now we're more video-based, or we're more visual-based because we watch videos and TV and television, which has sort of stolen or hijacked our imagination. And I think that's the problem with us reading the Bible. The reason I think a lot of young people think the Bible is boring is because somebody's hijacked your imagination, and you need to get it back. Isn't that true? And we're so visually stimulated, we don't realize that a God-given imagination, not an unsanctified, weird sort of thing, imagination sort of picture, whatever you want, and be weird and fantasize and use it sinfully. I'm talking about the godly part of it, being redeemed in Christ, utilizing our creative genius that God has put inside of us. Every one of us is creative in one way or another. And you have that inside of you, and it has been hijacked because of all the stimuli that's around us all the time, distracting us, not even realizing what's happened. And I just look through the Bible, and I realize, man, this thing is full of God speaking to people in all of these different ways. And I would have people say things to me often, and this is such a normal statement that I hear. People say to me, I don't hear God. I don't hear God. And that's pretty hard to refute because it's a very concrete, solidified statement from them to Ben. And I, of course, don't believe what they're saying because I truly believe this all my heart. And it's, again, another chapter of my book called Everyone Can Hear God. Isn't that just simple? I love it. I just like to say things the way I think them. Everyone can hear God. So I don't agree with that statement when they say it to me, but I have to help them see how God speaks, because we often, when we say we don't hear God, what we really mean is, I don't hear God the way that person claims to hear God. See, if we could reorganize the statement, I think we could come up with the actual truth. And I wish God spoke more clearly. Can I just say that right up front? I wish that God spoke more clearly. I do. I wish it was like 1-800-HEAVEN, bam, and you get on the line, you ask your question, and God's like, hey, Ben, I'm glad that you called. I've been waiting for you to call. It's been about a week, you know, or whatever. And of course, he's a good father, but he's not a grandfather that spoils. You know, fathers, sometimes they got to get down to business. Isn't that true? Sometimes they got to say something. You know, I am one, so I know. But granddads, they spoil. And C.S. Lewis said, some people want grandfathers, because they're just, everybody loves going to grandpa's house, and most people don't want the father who instructs and encourages. And you understand the difference. And so you call up heaven's hotline, and he just gives you the answer you're looking for. I wish that it was that way, but my friends, that is not my experience. And the more that I read the Bible, the more that I find as people interacted with God, Old Testament and New Testament, God spoke in all kinds of different ways. It's irrefutable. It's irrefutable. And I think it's just something that we have to try to understand more and more and more. Of course, from the scripture is how we're going to understand how God has interacted with people. But off the pages of the scriptures are meant to be alive in our life. They're not meant to be a book that we study and we control the interpretation of. They are meant for us to have a window into the relationship with God that we are meant to have, and who God is and what he is like. The scriptures frame up the life of the Christian and what that's to be like. But we're the ones, by the Holy Spirit, that have to live it out. There are a lot of things that God has said in his word that he wants to make real in our life, and he does that by the Holy Spirit. And as we walk with him and listen and become good listeners and become sensitive to what he's saying from the scriptures and also in our own context and experience, God will, he will shock us. It's amazing when you begin to let the distractions off of your life, and of course we'll talk maybe a little bit about that tonight, if not next week. But I want you to see something up front. Okay, God speaks all these different ways. We need to understand this. Seldom is God's voice an actual voice. Now this is going to help you. Okay, this is the best way I can say this, and I'm not going to do it again. You can get the CD though, so that's not true. Seldom is God's voice an actual voice, the way that we would describe the word voice, okay? In my understanding, if you were to look in the Webster's Dictionary, I'm recalling this by memory, so please don't quote me, but the word voice in the Webster's Dictionary, I believe, is an expressed will, desire, an expressed will or desire of something or someone that's seeking your attention of some kind, that's seeking your attention. That's my recollection. A voice, as it's described in the dictionary, is the expressed will of or desire of something or someone that's seeking your attention. Okay. So the word voice, I'm using loosely, I'm actually relating that to the word language. Okay. God, seldom is God's voice the language that you and I speak, English or whatever language that you speak. God speaks in all these different ways. Okay. We're used to multiple forms of communication. And I think they go under our nose every day. Often when we look to hear from God, we want God to speak to us in a way where it's audible, clear, concise, understandable, and we know exactly what to do after he says what he says. And you know already, if you've been a Christian longer than a day, that that is just not true. That's not the way that it works. And we'll look into that. But I think it's important that we get this reality that we function by multiple forms of communication as humans. This is just outside of walking with Jesus. For example, I use this as an illustration. Not too long ago, I was at the bank, and I bank at Chase. I happen to bank at Chase. I am moving to another bank. Unhappy. Anyhow, and I pull up to the drive-thru ATM, and I'm doing a deposit. I'm putting my check in there. And as I'm doing the deposit, I notice on the numbers, how many of you know what's on the numbers also below them? Braille. Now, I have no idea why Braille is in the drive-thru ATM. I don't know. Okay. I know people that are blind, and I know that they do not go through the drive-thru ATM. So maybe it's just kind of a deal that they do. I don't get it. But my point is that goes under my nose every day. How many times have I gone to the drive-thru ATM and never noticed those little bumps, those little Braille characters? That is a form of communication that we use in our world. Okay. There are other forms of communication. How many of you texted today? How many of you emailed somebody today? You may say, well, that we use language, but think about that. You do this into a phone, and it goes through the airwaves and somehow reaches the destination that you want it to go to. It's a form of communication where you don't actually have to personally talk to somebody face-to-face using the language that you speak in. There are multiple, there are all kinds of ways that we use. I mean, there are many people in our church that are fluent in sign language. We have one gentleman, young gentleman, I don't think he's here tonight, but his first language, although he can speak, use his voice and speak English, his first language, because both of his parents are deaf, he grew up where both of his parents were deaf, his first language is sign language. That is the way that he primarily has communicated as he has grown up. And now, of course, he's speaking and with everybody else, and that's what he did his whole life, but that was his first language at home. So there are ways that we communicate. This is not foreign to us. This is normal. God is exactly the same way, okay? And this is just one way I can illustrate this to you. And I want to do something as we move through tonight. All I'm really going to do is talk to you about the different ways that God communicates. Now, the ways that I'm going to describe to you, these are not the only ways that God speaks to us. That's not what I'm saying. So you need to follow me on that. That's number one. Number two is that as we go through these, I'm going to do them more quickly than I normally would because I want to get to the time where we pray, okay? So there's a reason why I'm going to breeze through them and not spend a huge amount of time on them because I'll just end up talking and talking and giving stories and examples, and you guys are like, when's this going to end? We get it, all right? So I'm going to try to make sure that I slim it down. But it's just really important that you see this. The reason that I'm using these 10 different ways that I believe God speaks is because these are the ones that I see more consistently in my life and more consistently in Scripture. There are a few of them I'm not going to use scriptures for, but I believe that they're true. I hate to say that I don't have a Bible verse specifically for them to frame them, but there's just a few of them, and you'll understand why when we get there. And I want to say this before we go down the list, and that is simply this, that whenever you read the Bible, whenever you study the Bible, one of the hardest things, that I'm a Bible student, so I study this book. I love this book. I believe God preserved his word. It was written through men by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the unction of the Spirit, and it has been preserved by God's protection for a couple thousand years, and in some cases, even more than that. This book is life or death to me. Okay, so I want you to know that ahead of time. And as I study this book, one of the hard things that as we look at topical issues is when you try to tell people from the book how something works. You're not always going to find a Bible verse that says, well, God said in the Bible, this is how he's going to talk to you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You're not always going to find that. But what you will find and what we're going to discover tonight is lots of interactions that God had with somebody else where this form of communication was used, and we are deducing from that reality, that experience that we're reading about, that God does the very same thing with us today. I do not believe that the God of the Bible is a different God that you and I have living on the inside of us today. I don't believe that whatsoever. So if you have a hard time with that, you're going to have a hard time through all of the things that I'm going to say. But I want you to know also that I believe that everything that we would think that God is saying to us is not going to contradict what this says. Okay? It's not going to contradict what this says. I have had lots of people in my time of being Christian come up and say, God told me this. And my friends, God didn't tell them anything. And once we get to discerning the voice of God, which is in a few weeks, I know you'll enjoy that because, again, that's one of my favorite sessions. It's really, really helpful to understand that we need to discern through the voices that are going on. Because it's funny, I was told the first way, by the way, that God communicates, the first way that God speaks to us is by the Bible. So now that we're talking about that, I'm going to talk about the Bible. The first and primary way that God speaks to us is the Bible. And something you need to know, I first started in a church where they basically would simply say this to us. And I'm going to show you why that's not the case. They would say, every time you open the Bible, God is speaking to you. I'm going to say that again. The church that I first started in when I was 19 years old, this is what they used to say to us. Whenever you open the Bible, God is speaking to you. And here's what I want to tell you. That is absolutely not true. Now, some of you are not going to like this, but I'm going to say it anyways because it's not true. How many of you know you can interpret the same passage differently than I can? How many of you know that that's true? Some people hide behind, I only believe the Bible, God doesn't speak outside of the Bible, and they're the ones that control whatever they think God is telling them. Isn't that amazing? It's not just about your eyes looking at the book, because you could be looking in a wrong way with a wrong heart. This is not about Bible study methods. This is not about just Greek and Hebrew and you knowing the original meaning of the Bible. This is so far beyond that. If you and I do not have a humble heart, my friends, we will never understand this book. This is a spiritual book, and it was meant to be understood by the Spirit. And if our heart is not right and our hearts are not humble, we will not open this book and hear God speak to us. I hear a lot of people teach. I've heard thousands of sermons. And there are times where I can listen to somebody and I am moved. I am compelled. There's an anointing of the Spirit of God and I can feel it. I can see it. I know it. And I'm reading the same thing they're reading and it comes alive. There's a difference, my friends, between somebody that reads the book as a textbook and somebody that reads it as though their life depends on it. And God made a way for this word to go through thousands of years so that they could read it and have a foundation for what they would ever know and ever do. There are differences that we need to understand. When we read the book, it just doesn't mean we hear God because you read the book. Now, I read the book every day, and I won't compromise that. I feel like I am a Bible addict. And if I don't get my fix, something's wrong with me. My wife will even say, did you not have your time with God today? Because you look a little shaky. Seriously, something needs to happen. You understand? We need this word, okay? But you need to have the right heart, not just the right methods. How many of you say amen? You know exactly what I'm talking about. You cannot just open the book and point wherever you want or do your study and your interpretation, your eyes only, and it is whatever you think that it means. That's not the way that this works. How you come to the Bible is as important as you opening the Bible. It's the truth. People say, well, I'm in a dry time and I'm just not getting much out of the word right now. And you know what? Close the book and open your heart to the Lord and say, God, just open my heart. Open my eyes that I... The psalmist said, open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things from your law. What a prayer that would be if we, before we opened the Bible, we said, Father, open my eyes that I might behold wonderful things out of your law. out of your book, out of your guidance, out of your principles, that I wouldn't see it for my own interpretation and use it against things, but I would use it to for you to shape my heart. By the same Spirit that wrote this book through men would be the same Spirit that would shape me as I read these very words. Okay, the Bible is the primary way, and I think of it like this. Whenever we go into hearing the voice of God, you need to understand all of the other ways that we're going to hear God speak are fallible. The Bible is infallible. What does that mean? In the original writings, the Bible is completely from God. The Bible is completely from God. Let me read you a scripture. Many of you are going to know this. We're going to read it anyways because that's what we do. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All scripture is inspired by God." God-breathed, that's what that means. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The Bible is the parameters of the Christian life. The Bible is what God wanted us to know. The Bible is what God has given us so that we can live the way that he wants us to live. Okay, it's important for us to get this into our heart. And by the way, Paul said to Timothy, all scripture. How many of you know the New Testament wasn't written when he said this? He was talking about the Old Testament. When Paul said all scripture is God-breathed, he was talking about the Old Testament. Anytime somebody puts down the Old Testament, it's questionable at best, whatever they're saying. Now, we need to understand the Old Testament in light of the New Testament, and the New Testament in light of the Old Testament. I agree with that. Rightly divide the Bible. We need to study it in the way that it works, the way that it blends together old and new. But I'm telling you, when I see people put down the Old Testament, everything that they're saying is questionable at that point. Because Paul in the New Testament said to Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed. When we're bored by reading the Bible, it is an us problem. It is a heart problem. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When I'm bored with reading the Bible, it's a Ben problem. That's what that is. It's not God. It's not a dry time. It's not a wilderness season. It's not any of that. The Holy Spirit lives inside me. I am not living in a wilderness. I'm living under an open heavens. And I need to get my heart into alignment with that. But the Bible is infallible, and every other way that we're going to hear the voice of God is fallible because the human element is introduced. If you have a vision, if you have a dream, if you have an impression, if you have all these other things that happen, listen, those are fallible. You may be wrong. The interpretation might be wrong. That might have been bad pizza. You got to discern and weigh all of those other things that you think are God. But this is for every generation. It's for every time period. It is until Jesus returns. Come on, somebody. This Bible right here, this book, is for us every generation. It is exactly what God wants us to know. And I'm saying it loud as I can because it's so true, and we should always say it to each other. Hallelujah. Amen. All scripture is inspired by God. All scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is spoken from God through his vessels, those that got to read. Now, I want to say this to you. God's going to speak to us in two ways from the Bible. Okay, there might be more, but I'm going to share with you two. Number one, God's going to speak to us through the Bible as we study it. How many of you read the Bible? You study the Bible. Your heart's in alignment. You're hungry. You want to hear from the Lord. You want to know his truths. You understand? You're looking to understand God in all of this. You want to get to know him better. Okay? You're not just reading it to get a big head. You're reading it to know a good God, a good Father. Okay? So you're in there, and the scripture, come on, the scripture comes alive, pops up off the page, jumps on you, and gets on the inside of you, and just makes you want to get up and do something. How many of you have had that experience? Maybe not quite like what I just described, but it's, you know, close enough in your own way. That's very normal. That happens. As you study the Bible, God speaks to you. It's the Word of God whether it speaks to you or not. It's always the Word of God. But it speaks to you personally, and something in there was for you in that moment. Bam, that's for you. That's the first way that God speaks to you through the Bible. The second way that God speaks to you through the Bible is the Holy Spirit reminds you in the set of circumstances that you're in. You don't have the book open. You're not in the middle of a study, but you're doing something, and you're talking to somebody, or you're thinking about a situation. You're praying through a circumstance, and the Holy Spirit reminds you of what Jesus said. The Holy Spirit reminds you of what you read. This is very typical for me. I will read the Bible in the morning and throughout the day. It's very often for me that there's a verse that was highlighted in the chapter or chapters that I was reading, and that verse will come back to me later that day for a circumstance that I find myself in. That's why I encourage people to read the Bible in the morning. as often as you can. And so this is the way that God speaks to us through the Word. Whether it speaks to us or not, it's still the Word of God. It's infallible. I've said that as clearly as I can. But I want you to know that the Lord does this, okay? So the Bible is the framework for everything else that God will ever say. And I like to put it like this. The Old Testament is the foundation. The New Testament is the framing of the house. And everything that God's going to say is going to be inside that house. Bible says for a man should be the same for a woman. The opposite should work. But it is good for a man to have a wife. It's also good for a woman to have a husband. It's good. This is what the Bible says. And so do you just go pick one, or how does that, you know, work? And many of us like to submit our life to the Lord and listen. Some of you said, yes, that's what I do. Just pick one. So no, but I mean, you want to live your life by the Scriptures, but you want to hear the voice of God in your choosing of one of the most important things that you're ever going to have in your whole life. You want to hear the voice of the Lord. Lord, is this the person? Am I supposed to pursue this person? Am I supposed to back off? What do you want me to do? The Bible says that we have spiritual gifts. The Bible says that we need to be rooted and grounded in the church. It talks about church, being in the church. We just kind of walk down the road and pick one. Do you know why I'm here at this church? Because the Lord spoke to me. He was clear with Ben Dixon about being at Mill Creek Four Square Church. That's why it doesn't matter what I'm offered. It doesn't matter what nice, cool movement goes on in California or Texas or wherever God is moving in the world. I know because the Lord spoke to me about being in this church. And that's why it's not easy for me to move. If somebody offends me, it's going to happen, has happened, and I'm going to offend somebody, or it will be a perceived offense most likely. So humble. I'm so humble. Seriously. But just because I have an offense, the Lord said, be here. So you're not going to sway me out of what the Lord said. So the rest of it, I just got to suck up, live with, and forgive, and let go, and move on. You see, God told me to be here. How do you know? Do you just pick a church? Do you just roll the dice? We got to hear the voice of God. Listen, you see what I'm saying? Everything that God's going to speak to us in the framework of his written word. But there's a lot in there that we still need him relationally to talk to us about. Come on, so you understand what I'm saying? We need to hear the voice of God. The number one thing that people ask me is, how do you know it's God? The second thing is how do I hear God more clearly? I want to hear him. They're starving for real relationship with God where he communicates to them. Everybody in the world is, whether they're even Christian or not. So the Bible, okay, is number one. Number two is impressions. Okay, I want you to see this. There's a passage that I have up here, and it's a time where the Apostle Paul, he was imprisoned, and he was going to go for trial, and during that time when he was going to go up for trial, he was imprisoned for the gospel, and he said, I appeal to Caesar, and they were confused why he would want to go see Caesar, because when he does, he's going to die, basically, and that's exactly what happened to him. But Paul basically appealed to Caesar so he could preach the gospel to Caesar. That's what happened. And as he goes, they have to get on a ship so they can sail over to see him wherever he is. And as they're doing that, Paul knows ahead of time that the ship is gonna get wrecked. And so he tries to tell the captain, and the captain doesn't listen and said, we're going to move on anyways. And we pick up the story real quickly here in Acts 27, verse 9, and this is what it says. When considerable time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous, Paul already told them this was going to happen, and now it's happening, and he did the, you know, I told you so. He probably did it in a more sophisticated way. But as the voyage was now dangerous, since even the fast was already over, he was fasting, Paul began to admonish them, the crew, and he said, men, I perceive, see, they're all freaking out because the ship's getting wrecked and they think they're going to lose their lives. So Paul says this, he goes, men, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. So this was prior to Paul perceived that the ship was going to get wrecked, and he was letting the captain know that and the crew know that. And they, of course, didn't believe him, and so they went and they got wrecked. But during that time, Paul perceived again that they were going to have great damage and great loss. But he also said the Lord showed him, basically, that nobody was going to die, and they didn't. And it was a pretty amazing thing to have a guy aboard that could hear God like that. I want to have friends like that in my life that can just tell me what's going on. And this is what he says. I perceive, listen to this language, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. So he was like saying, let's not go on this voyage, or let's wait. This is what we need to do. The word perceive is not the same word as the word discern. If you've listened to the other CDs that I have on hearing the voice of God and understanding prophecy, I go over the gift of the discerning of spirits. But when people say the word perceive, they tend to think discern. Discern means to distinguish between one thing and another. This word perceive, Paul's not saying I perceive between this and that. He's saying I have an impression. I have a sense on the inside of me that we're going to experience great loss and we probably shouldn't go on this voyage. Listen, he heard the voice of God. He had some kind of impression, a sense on the inside of him, and he spoke it out. This is what we need to know. And impressions, this is what I've had the experience of impressions. Impressions are faint. They tend to be faint to me. And I picture it sort of like, when you know, when the snow's out, not all the time where we live, but maybe if you've lived somewhere other than here, you've seen snow. And when you have seen the white stuff, you can step into the fresh snow. And what does it do? It leaves a impression. And listen, do you know what happens when, as it's snowing, as it continues to snow and snow comes down, what happens to that impression as the snow comes down? It gets covered up pretty quickly, doesn't it? And so the way that I look at impressions is God, what he does is he imprints something on our heart about a situation or about something that we're going through or something that we're praying for regarding somebody else. There's an impression about something on our heart. And you know what I think? We just haven't gotten good to hear these. We just haven't gotten sensitive to the Lord in a way where these are normal and these could be God. When people say to me, they say, I don't hear God, I try to locate and identify how they are hearing God because they are. They just don't realize that those impressions are God. And listen, let me just say real quickly, because this is going to come up in your mind, some of you. Nobody wants to get it wrong. Okay? Nobody. Nobody wakes up in the morning and goes, you know, I want to take a crack at this hearing God thing, and I just want to mess up. I want to look stupid. I want to say something that's not God. And I want people to call me a false prophet. I can't wait for that. Sounds like a good day. All right? But you know what I think? I think we are so scared of getting it wrong that we don't learn to recognize these kinds of things, and we don't get good at sharing what God might be, in fact, saying to us that would benefit our life and the lives of others. And there's no way that we're going to grow until we take risks, until we step out, until we learn to speak out these things that are going on in the inside of us. And when you begin to start recognizing impressions, one of the things that happens right off the bat is you recognize more bad things than you do good things. I'm with people all the time, and they go, you know, I feel something wrong about that person. I go, really? And I just want to say this real quickly. It doesn't take a whole lot to feel something bad about somebody else. They go, no, really, no, seriously, I feel something really bad, like some sinful kind of thing. And I go, I kind of noticed that in you too. Something about that church. Something not right about that church. I go, yeah, it's called sin. And every one of them has it. Did you know that? I'm welcome to the world that you're in. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you have a critical spirit, you need deliverance. The way that you feel is not the way that God always feels. If I could help somebody in bondage right now, come on, listen to me seriously and hear this in a good way. If you have a critical spirit, you need deliverance, just like I do. Okay? This is something you deal with, you struggle with. This is not, God is not angry at people. God is seeking to help people. And you are not better than them. I am not better than them. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. So if you want to help people, why don't you see what God has called them to? Why don't you see what God is speaking to them about for their future? Why don't you see the redemption that God wants to bring in their life? Why don't you see something that God wants to breathe into their life instead of just something's really wrong with that person? I'm just telling you, from a guy that's been delivered, almost delivered, of critical spirit. I used to live on Critical Avenue. You understand what I'm saying? I own stock in Critical Corporation. I know what this stuff's about. And it doesn't take a lot to see what's wrong except for a critical mind and an eyeball, one working one at least. It's not a gift of the Spirit, and it's not God the Father who loves people so much that he sent his son to die on their behalf. Jesus saw sin, and he died for it. Sometimes we see something wrong, and we go, man, something's wrong with that person. And Jesus is like, yeah, I kind of shed my blood for that one. So let's, you know, he's kind of kicking us, like, let's do something about that. I'm not suggesting that it's our job to clean everybody up and, you know, not see wrong things. But typically when you move in impressions or you begin to hear the voice of God in this way, it starts out with negative. And I want to press you beyond the negative, as it's taken a lot of work for me in my prayer life to do that. I've had to work past the critical spirit. And when you work past the critical spirit, it's like the world opens up and you begin to see what God is really doing in people's lives and what he is about. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? God is moving in the world and we are missing it because of the critical spirit. And we're still trying to analyze something and we're criticizing the people that are speaking to people for their benefit. We're criticizing them. Well, they're just not seeing everything. Maybe they're seeing the... Okay, you understand what I'm getting at. I could go on and on. All right. But Paul perceived something. He had an impression. I have impressions regularly. Let me just say this to you and close up impressions. If you don't share what you have, then you lose it like that. I've said some of the highest level things. I'm not kidding. Like names and crazy stuff I've had happen from this stage, right around this area. Some of you have been in these meetings at times. I've said crazy things from a simple impression that God dropped in my heart. I said it and went, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just said that. And as I said it, somebody just broke down and said, I can't believe you just said that. I was like, oh, that's a good thing. Awesome. Yeah, I know. The Lord is good, isn't he? I'm not going to stand up because we don't do this man of God, woman of God. It's the man of God's here. You know, what is God saying, brother? I mean, come on, man. We all have the Holy Spirit. This is what I teach. Okay, I'm not here to give you something. I'm here to tell you what is yours. There's a big difference between the two. If you have the same Holy Spirit as I do, we're all in the same thing together. So here's the deal, right? If you don't share what you have, you lose it like that. Just like the snow covers up the impression. This is what I've learned. This is what I've learned, especially when you're at like Walmart and crazy places like that. You have this impression, like you need to turn around and go talk to that person. How many times I've had that? I've led people to Christ by walking by somebody and having this strong impression that I need to talk to them. God doesn't tell me what to say. He just impresses on my heart, I need to talk to them. Here's the deal. If you don't take the impression and go talk to them, you'll never know what to say because the Lord doesn't give you what to say until you obey the first impression. That's the way it works. That's why we prayed this tonight. God, make me sensitive to your spirit. And it's not a big deal. There's no fireworks. It's not a flash. No angel might come, but you have a strong impression that you need to do something. How many of you have had a strong impression that you needed to give money to somebody? And the first thing you go is, I got more month than money. I don't think I have any, God. I remember sitting in this chair one time, and the Lord put this strong impression in my heart. I want you to give. I want you to give. I want you to give. Here's what I want you to give to. And I'm like, come on, Lord, I don't think I have that. I'm negotiating. Come on, God. But it wouldn't go away, and I thank him for letting it come a few times, you know, because my wife and I were able to participate in some really awesome things that I'm not going to lose my reward over by telling you. But you've had these. All of you have had these. God doesn't speak to me. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. I'm pleading with you, okay? Here's the third one, our thoughts. God speaks to us in our thoughts. All right, so the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Look at this. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Where does the Holy Spirit live? Okay, so he speaks into our thought life. So does the enemy tries to plant thoughts. But see, that's why we have to discern. And there's ways to do that. We'll talk about that later. But we discern in our thoughts what the Lord is speaking, and then we want to, of course, follow through with that and obey him, okay? The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ, okay? So you got to read my book for all the scriptures, or you're not going to get them. But as we go through the passages, as we go through the scriptures, put the two and two together. We have the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Inside of us is our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. He's speaking into our thought life. God doesn't speak to me, Ben. Yes, he does. He speaks into your thoughts. Well, I just never, see, he may not speak to you real clearly, but this is what you're doing. You're driving down the road. I'm predicting now. I'm not prophesying. I'm predicting. You're driving down the road, and somebody comes up into your mind. Andy. You haven't thought about Andy for 3 months or 6 months. You haven't thought about Susan for a year. You hadn't seen them. You don't even remember their kids' names, for heaven's sake. Why is that person in my mind? I can't even shake it. I want to because I just want to, you know, get this song on and just get my jam thing going. You know, I'm singing. People that are on my left and right think I'm crazy, but I'm just doing it. Listen, if turn the radio off, this is why I said turn the radio off and let that thought run its course and then call that person and watch them talk to you about something that they're going through, offer to pray for them and see what God will do. You got to give the Holy Spirit something to work with. Because he gave you a lot. And so now we got to give him back something to work with. So as he's speaking to us in our thoughts, he's bringing names up into your mind, in your thoughts. Oh, why am I thinking about that person? Why am I thinking about that person right now? I'll tell you why you're thinking about that person. Because God wants you to do something. He wants you to at least pray. Maybe you don't know their phone number. Pray for them. How many of you, people get up in the middle of the night and they begin to have thoughts about somebody, their kids. If you're a parent, and this God does this all the time for parents. Thank God that he helps us parent our children. He gives us thoughts in our minds so that we can pray for our kids. Because they're probably getting into some crazy stuff. Crazy, right? I mean, sometimes you want to check your kid's ID if they're old enough to have one. You're like, what is your name? I don't even know you anymore. But God speaks into our thought life. You understand? He speaks into our thought life all the time. But we have to learn to be sensitive, okay? We have to learn to pick up on that stuff that's going on. And when we do, it'll be successful. Another way that God speaks to us is pictures. And pictures, I obviously will couple those with visions. But I think pictures are a little bit different enough to separate. And I have a passage there, Amos chapter 8, verse 1, where God speaks to a prophet and he says, what do you see? He does it to him a couple times. Amos, what do you see? And Amos says, the Lord showed me there was a basket of summer fruit. It's like, there's a basket of fruit, okay? And the Lord says, what do you see? And he says, a basket of summer fruit. The Lord says to me, the end has come for my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. You connect that? That's kind of weird. You know what the Lord did? The Lord showed Amos is a prophet of God in the Bible. Okay, wrote scripture. Man, it's amazing. God shows him a picture, or maybe it was actually a real basket. It could have just been a real thing, or it could have been a spiritual picture. We don't know enough to see this. But he shows him, what do you see? I see a basket of summer fruit. He goes, exactly. The time of Israel is coming to a close. I mean, what he's trying to say, the hopefully Amos was connected, you know what I mean? To fruit and harvest or something. But the picture was summer fruit. The word in the picture was summer. He was telling him when something was going to happen by showing him the season in which the fruit was harvested. That's crazy. Why can't God just say, you know what, at the end of summer, this is what I'm going to do, Amos? He doesn't do that, does he? He chose to show him a basket of fruit that's harvested in the summer. God does this all the time. Sometimes the Lord will show me things externally. I have had my physical eyes open. I've had my, you know, we call it our spiritual eyes, but I've in the physical world, I've seen things over people. This has happened to me many times. I've seen fire over people with my real eyes, not just spiritually, in my heart. I've seen things over people. I've seen words over people. It's not frequent, but it happens. It scares me at times when it happens because it's not like, oh, yes, I'm spiritual. That's amazing. This stuff happens, okay? God can do that kind of stuff. I remember being in this building one time, and I'm just worshiping the Lord, and I open my eyes, and I see smoke everywhere. And then I close my eyes, and it's gone. And then I open my eyes, I see smoke everywhere again. Smoke. I mean, this looked like smoke. I thought the building was on fire. And I bumped my buddy who was with me at the time. I said, do you see this? And he goes, see what? I said, never mind. Never mind, man. It's one of those things, man. Maybe some residual before I came to Jesus, you know. I don't know, brother. Smoke, you know. And it's the presence of the Lord is what it was. Because then you know what I did? I took that picture and I began to look in the Bible. And how many of you know when there's smoke in the Bible, what is the presence of the Lord? All right, the temple was filled with what? Was filled with smoke, and that was the presence of the Lord. The priest couldn't even stand. It was amazing, okay? This is in the scriptures, okay? And it happened in my experience. So we see these pictures. Another thing we see is visions. And how many of you know Acts chapter 2 says your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. When the outpouring of the Spirit came, he said, you're going to see visions. You're going to see it. And visions are like movie clips. And you see them inside, and you see them, sometimes you can see them outside. When you see them on the outside, that's very infrequent. It can happen, and it's happened to me about a half a dozen times in 14 years. And when it's happened, it's kind of startling, honestly. It's like a movie screen drops down in front of you and you get freaked out, okay? I'm just not one of those guys that go, yep, had another open vision. Awesome, you know. And I'm not one of those guys that goes, yeah, I'm pretty sure why I know God showed me that. I'm pretty much his man. It's kind of frightening sometimes, some of this stuff, you know. You're like, whoa, you know. So you can have open visions and you can have internal visions. And internal visions are more often, more consistent, more frequent. Open visions are more rare. You know, sometimes the prophetic people have those more often. So I don't tend to talk a lot about those. I have a scripture there. You can see those. But, you know, I mean, I used to pray. It's funny. My oldest son is here. Raise your hand. How you doing, brother? What's up? So I used to pray when they were... I know I'm young, but I have two stepsons, and they're 20 and 18. And so when I became a father, I was 24, and I had a 9 and 11-year-old. And I had no idea what I was doing, okay? But I was just loving Jesus, and we're just going to do this, okay? And strong male figure is sort of what I am. And they were, you know, about a year into it, they were pretty scared. But anyways, we figured it out, okay? We grew them up. But they were at school. When they got into high school, their mom and I was just praying. I mean, all I knew was, God, I'm just going to pray because I have no idea what to do. And the Lord would show me visions about what they would do at school. And Isaiah knows this. He'd come home. I'd be like, come up to the office. He'd come into the office, and he can tell you those stories. It's so funny. But anyways, he'd come to the office, and I'd say, you know, the Lord showed me something that you were doing at school today. He'd be like, what? What was it? And I try to play it out, right? You know what I mean? You try to extend that one a little bit. You know what it was. You know exactly what it was. And in his mind, he's thinking, which one? You know what I mean? And in my mind, I'm thinking, I want them all, you know? So the Lord shows me one, but I want all 10 if I can get all 10. So I'm not going to tell him which one the Lord showed me. And then if he's smart enough, he's not going to tell me. He's only going to say, like, I stole a pencil or something. You know, I picked up a paperclip from the teacher's desk. I know it was stupid. But he knows that I know that we know something happened because he was there when he did it. And I know now I know, so because I had a vision. You follow? You dig what I'm saying? But the Lord would show me visions about what he would do. This is serious truth. The Lord would show me some things. You just get it under control. Wow. Starbucks, that's what you need. Frozen yogurt right after, that's what we're doing. So anyways, but I would have these visions and he would come home and we would talk about it and he would come to repentance and it was amazing how the Lord would do that. But just pray, you know, Lord, young men will see visions. The Bible says young men will see visions. How many of you just pray, God, show me a vision. Bible says the Holy Spirit get poured out. I want to see something. And I don't want to see it because I want to believe in you. I already believe in you, but come on, let's benefit somebody today, God. Let's do it. See, I want to hear you. This is one of the ways you communicate. I think it's great. Another way is dreams. And I just think if God could just knock me out and speak to me everything that he wants me to know while I'm sleeping, I think that'd be a good deal. Especially the hard things, things that are hard to hear. God, come on, just give it to me when I'm sleeping. That's what I think, but that doesn't typically happen. But I think most dreams, they're dreams all over the Bible, right? And again, Acts chapter 2, dreams and visions. And my experience is that I have dreams usually for directional and correctional things. Typically, dreams are for me. Sometimes they're for other people. Very seldom in my life are they my dreams for other people when I've had them. I've had them very infrequently over a long period of time. Matter of fact, this is the truth. I had a dream in 2003. I was on staff at a church in Kirkland. The Lord gave me a dream that I was on staff at Mill Creek Four Square Church. I have it written. It's in a journal. It's in my office right now. And it's the primary word that guided my wife and I to this church, which is why I'm here. And I knew it was the word of the Lord. And I didn't tell anybody. I didn't have to. I didn't submit my resume. I never actually gave them a resume, but I didn't submit a resume that said, by the way, I had a dream that I was on church here, staff here. I just know you just need to obey the Lord, you know. No muss, no fuss. Let's just do what the Lord said. I didn't do that. I just kept it. I kept it inside, and the Lord, you know, did what he did. And so, anyways, there's dreams, and I people will come up to me, and they'll have these end time dreams. Okay, they'll earthquakes and fire and billows of smoke and all this crazy stuff will happen, and they'll just And Christian dreams are like novels. I mean, I will talk to non-Christians and like, last night I had a dream that I was flying, and then I fell. What do you think? Ouch. I mean, I don't really know. But you talk to a Christian, and they're like, when Christians have dreams, they're like, man, I had a dream last night. And it's like, you need to breathe and sit down. Because like, la, 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 and la, 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 God, la, 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 Jesus. You know, sort of, don't know where this is going. It's like a novel, right? And so, and they go, what do you think? And I go, man, I have no idea. Can you write that down and email it to me? That is what I say, actually. But God speaks through dreams, and people go, why would God give me like an end times dream? And you know what I tell people? This is going to sound silly, but this is what I tell people, and it might even sound sacrilegious to you, but after hearing about 100 of these, I really don't care at this point. Because sometimes God will give you some kind of crazy dream because he's just looking for people that would be his friends, that will listen to him and believe him. And that's it. You're not supposed to be on TBN and tell everybody the world's coming to an end. You're just supposed to be a good listener and be a good person of prayer. How about that? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we think God speaks to us and gives us these crazy things because we're supposed to like stand on a stage and proclaim them to like thousands of people and bring repentance and bring the next wave of revival. Sometimes God will give you such a heavy thing. Do you know why? Because he's looking for friends that will hear him, listen to him, and pray a thing through without telling anybody. So don't freak out if you get stuff like that. I've had some pretty crazy stuff. Don't freak out if you have stuff like that. Just learn to be a person of prayer and be his friend. It's that simple. I mean, and I'll tell people that. They'll go, why do you think God gave me all this stuff? And I'll go, I think he's just looking for people that'll listen to him. And they'll go, oh, you think so? And I go, yeah, I know so, actually. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. But only the people that listen to him actually follow him. So I'm assuming that his friends are the people that he's still walking with. So if you're listening, that's a good thing. And if he's speaking, that's an even better thing. So that's cool. Anyways, dreams are their internal voice. This is the one I don't really have a passage for, but I know it's true. People would say the still small voice. I don't know. Have you ever read that story with Elijah in the Bible? It's not really a still small voice that's on the inside. It's still an audible voice. So I really don't use that as a passage to state still small voice. I don't use that for it, but I know that the Lord speaks on the inside of me. Typically when the Lord speaks to me internally, it's a phrase, it's a sentence. It's fairly clear. He's getting something across to me. He doesn't blurt out paragraphs to me, maybe to other people, but not to me. I get a phrase, a sentence, something like that. And I can ignore it. I can ignore it as quickly as I got it. And what I'm trying to do is learn not to ignore them. Okay. And that's what we're doing tonight. We're saying as we do this, we want to be people that don't ignore. And another way is the audible voice of God. I've never heard the audible voice of God, but we hear the Father speak over the Son a couple times, and we hear Jesus audibly from heaven speak over Paul in Acts chapter 9. And obviously in the Old Testament, God spoke audibly often, but he does in the New Testament as well. I've never heard the audible voice of God. I've had times that were close that felt that way, but I just don't say they were audible because they weren't. And I know people that have heard the audible voice of God that I trust, that I believe are telling the truth, and that's happened to them. One of my friends came to know Jesus because he heard the audible voice of God. I mean, that was his experience. But it's not something that's very common. And it does happen, though. I just have to say that. And you'll find that in Scripture. Another way is angels. There are different kinds of angels. One of the kinds of angels is messenger angels. Angels, one of their roles, one of their responsibilities is to bring messages of the Lord. Typically, when they do, it's a message of importance. There's an urgency attached to it. Anyways, I don't like talking about this kind of stuff all the time, but I've had this happen to me a handful of times, and it's pretty crazy. I really don't enjoy people that get on the stage and say, yeah, you know, saw an angel the other day. It's kind of weird to hear somebody talk sort of flippantly like they saw an angel. The encounters that I've had with the Lord in regards to this have been startling, to say the least. Okay, so I'm just saying that if you're looking for that to happen and you just want to see an angel just because, there's a purpose attached to the message of an angelic messenger, and the Lord knows why he sends them, dispatches his angels. Angels are typically doing the will and the bidding of the Lord even as we speak, but there are times where they interact with us for God's purposes, and we don't know when or why, but they do, and sometimes they bring messages, and it's pretty crazy, and it's kind of awesome. So So one time, I'll just tell you this, and I'll just give you a little bit, but I won't give you a lot of it, okay? One time, I had an encounter with an angel. I really don't even want to tell you this, but I'm gonna because I'm already locked in. And people think I'm crazy already, so let's just step out there in the whole water, why don't we? People say things. Don't people say crazy stuff? You shouldn't go to that church because they're just crazy. Yeah, okay. Anyways, I had an angelic visitation one time that he preached Colossians chapter 3 to me. Yeah, and I was scared. I thought, this isn't the way to get the scripture across, Lord. But that was, of course, 2 weeks later when it all wore off. But I was thinking about that experience. And if you read Colossians chapter 3, it's so profound. But he talks about, you know, things in the heavens and things on the earth and focus on things that are in the heavens and not things upon the earth. And it's just this, like, pretty amazing passage of who we are now in Christ and what we're to focus on and set our mind on and all this kind of stuff. And I just thought, why in the world did that happen to me? I mean, I remember going through that experience going, I could have just gone back to my Baptist roots and opened the Bible in Colossians chapter 3 and just read it. And God said, that's what I want you to know. And I would have thought, cool. But he, for some reason, wanted me to have a serious experience where I would never, ever, ever forget Colossians chapter 3, that it would be always part of my Christian experience for the rest of my life. And that's just the way that it was. I still to this day have no idea why God chose to do that to me and with me at that moment, but he does. His purposes are beyond what you could ask for. He does things because he knows what needs to be done, and we trust him, don't we? We trust him. And so anyways, but I typically don't like to talk about those kinds of things because people, you know what they tend to do? It's like, they think you're spiritual, and why hasn't that happened to me? I'm not spiritual. I mean, come on. I have no idea why God chooses to do stuff. But the reason that I want to say it kind of more often is because this should be normal. I mean, I don't want to cross over the line to heaven and all of a sudden, like, all of my analytical stuff gets swallowed up in the reality of heavenly experience, and all of the things that I read about are now all of a sudden true. Why are we getting robbed of the true reality of heaven today? Why is everybody that says God spoke to them and there's some kind of angelic encounter, or the kid that wrote the book Heaven is for Real, why are all of these people written off? Some of them are nutcases, I agree. But some of this stuff is really happening and people are missing what God is saying. You know what I mean? It's going on. So, yeah. So the last thing is other people, and of course that's not the best way of saying it. I just couldn't find a better way to say it. God speaks through other people. There you go. I got a good edit already. Come on, I'm not editing it, I promise you. Other people. So this is mentor relationships, friends, preaching, prophetic words, preaching of the gospel when you come to church. I've even had people that were non-Christians say something and the Lord used that.